Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I see from Franklin texting in, says, I'm scared to share the name of my adless game because I worry they'll data scrape this message and then add advertisements to it.
That's a great, great text.
You got a lot of suggestions. A lot of people, and also a suggestion to,
how about a private DM on that?
Yeah, there you go. Also, you need to turn your thing down, Paul. Come on,
thank
Paul.
Thank you.
And also,
technological guru Joe Rexrode enforcing right. things.
I mean, when I'm in here telling people what to do, we know we got Mr. Magoo here in the studio.
This guy who's missing keys on his on his keyboard laptop. He's got it taped together.
Hey, his what's wrong with my laptop? Come on, everything's fine.
Holding together by one thread.
I mean,
I
want to do a video essay on Joe's laptop and show the one in a box at home.
Has a perfectly good laptop that's just ready and waiting for years. Just ready to go.
Adam Vinger, if you're listening, it's time. And Nick Kieser, Adam Vinger, you guys have both offered to teach me how to use a MacBook.
Well, they've offered a thousand times.
It's so intuitive. In a day, you'll know it.
But someone else on the text line said if you go airplane mode, apparently you can play the game, the ads won't show up. So that's a thought too.
But then what if you guys send me a text?
Then you miss out.
What if Chad sends me a text to come give another beer with him?
Chad? I ain't drinking beers with Chad, just for the record.
Oh, look, he's so sensitive. I'm just kidding. He could have been any Chad.
There's a specific Chad out there, so.
There is?
Hanging Chad?
There's actually, yeah. I mean, there's only one that people think you carry water for, apparently.
That right there is a Titan.
There's your chance.
I was actually thinking Withrow.
I know you were. That's why.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was thinking about Brinker.
He's taking a different chance.
See, you got multiple chance.
Oh, man. So we were talking earlier about the edge rusher spot. You've gotten through the first wave of free agency, now the draft, and I'm looking at edge rusher, and I'm like, yeah, I don't love where things sit at edge rusher right now. I also don't love the available options that are out there. We went through some names. You know, Preston Smith is out there, and Matt Judon is out there, and Za'Darius Smith. So, PK, as we sit here today, do you think the Titans will, do you think the Titans should continue to pursue some help at edge rusher this offseason based on how light they appear to be in that spot right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how they don't add something somewhere. But some of the guys you're talking about, I mean, Judon is free because the Falcons don't want him. The Falcons are the worst pass rushing team in the league over the last 20 years.
They addressed that in the draft.
I mean, they just have no success with pass rushers. So if they don't want him. But you look at the Titans, I mean, they've got Oladejo now, Arden Key, Draymond Jones, and Lorenzo Carter are the top four. You know, you've gotten beefier there. I'm confident that you can stop the run better with Jones and Oladejo. But then your depth is Allie Gay, who's got, you know, some size. Again, you're bigger. Jalen Harrell, who people got excited about in the preseason last year and then did nothing.
And forgot existed.
Yeah, so it's really thin in terms of depth. And that's a problem throughout the roster. You know, when it's a bad roster and you're not that confident in some people in the first column and definitely the second column, well, you know, then you're not going to have much competition for the second column with what's in the third column. But, I mean, they don't have a pure pass rusher on the team. Arden Key is the closest thing you have, and he's out of style now in terms of they're getting bigger. He's the leanest, the bendiest. And he's streaky is the thing, you know, so he goes on a good streak where he'll have 3 weeks and really be influential.
Yep.
But then he'll go 3 weeks where you're like, where's Arden Key? So they need better. And that's why the Oladejo pick is so curious, because he's a growth player, you know, and we're not going to see close to the best of what he can be this year. You wouldn't think.
I
could see him starting because of rundown play.
Yeah.
Right? I could see him playing, quote unquote, in front of Key to take up the downs that Key is not the best at, and then Key being a third down, a passing down guy.
I mean, the names in this Edge group of available.
Yeah, you're right.
It's great,
like,
names.
All-star cast from 4 years
ago. Any, right. Yeah, exactly. Are any of them actually good anymore? Are any of them a credit, like a big add to a locker room?
Well, and how many, you know, some people want to play just for the sake of playing, right? And they want to get more money and all that stuff. Like, but like somebody brought up Von Miller. Like Von Miller at this stage in his career, why would he want to come play for the Titans? Like it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, a guy like that is definitely ring chasing at this point, right?
I mean, and you set aside Beasley and Clowney. Have the Titans really brought in any like older pass? You know, they've done it at receiver consistently where they brought in older guys. And I don't have the best memory for this, so maybe there have been a couple that I'm not remembering. But I don't think they've really brought in older edge guys.
I mean, Arakpo was in his prime when they got him.
Yeah, it's a and Dupree. When they've signed a free agent. Signed a big free agent edge, they've been swinging.
Cam Wake was probably the one.
That's a pretty good example. Yeah. And he actually, before he got hurt that year,
that was not a bad
signing. Opener.
That was not a bad signing.
And he was 37 when they brought him in.
That guy was great to talk to. I forgot about that guy.
He
I
was
really
great.
Liked him. Too bad he
was great.
Was here for 5 minutes.
Yeah, he played 9 games that year for the Titans. But he was pretty good before he got hurt. Yeah. But
it's hard to find many guys like that on their roster. And obviously,
that's
it's a
what
new,
they need.
New regime.
Something like that would be good.
Yeah, really good.
So we talked a lot about running back heading into the draft, right? And what were they going to do? Would they find a running back that could come in and could challenge Tajay Spears for kind of that second spot there? So we know that they've drafted a running back now coming out of the draft. What do you make of that room and how players could be used? I guess what I'm asking is, do you think that Tajay Spears is still clearly the number two running back on the team with Mullings coming in from Michigan as a sixth-round pick?
I would call it like two twos. So Spears is like relief of Pollard in Pollard downs. And Mullings is, you know, clearly short yardage, maybe goal line, between the tackles, tough runs. Not that Pollard can't do that. They seem to be very concerned with saving Pollard over the long haul and not overworking him so that they can get the best out of him in December, January. I think I'm skewed a little bit because Derrick Henry was a guy you didn't have to worry about that stuff with. And my philosophy with running backs, generally just the way running backs go in the league, is use them up and then get the next guy. But, you know,
it's kind.
If they've got a real concern, so use them up this year, but if you feel like September carries are going to hurt him in December, then you can't use him up that way. I'm not impressed with Spears. Maybe an offensive line will help him with carries, but certainly up the between the tackles, I don't feel like he's got the juice that we thought he did. If you can get him outside, that's great. I like him as a pass catcher. You get him in space, and he can really do things, but he also seems to get banged up pretty easily.
Having Scadaboo in, who should have been the Cam that went number one overall, having James in from Oregon, drafting Mullings. So is it, in your mind, as simple as they just wanted a short yardage option, or are they actually like we need a power back to be more involved in this offense, not just in the obvious situations?
I think there's probably opportunity for B, but I think it started at A.
God, Cam Scadaboo is going to be so amazing.
Unfortunately, he's playing for the Giants.
Yeah, it's true. He might suck because he plays for them.
Short
what
career.
What a waste.
Short career, he says.
I think short career. I think he's going to take a beating.
Well, most running backs do have short careers.
Yeah, but
that's
he initiates the beating, you know, and that's exciting and cool. We talked about this. But I think it's just my gut feeling that he'll wear down at an accelerated pace.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Your questions for Paul Kuharsky, all things Titans, we'll get to over the next 45 minutes with PK here with us. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura. Coming up at Hermitage Golf Course Thursday, May 29th. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program, taking your thoughts, your questions on the Titans. 615-737-1025. All right, PK, on the Brian Callahan front, we've talked so much about Cam Ward and how he and the way he plays is largely going to determine what happens with Brian Callahan. So we know that. We know that's going to be a big part of what goes on here. How far behind would you rank how the offensive line plays this year in determining Brian Callahan's fate? We were talking about this the other day. You brought in Brian Callahan, but you also brought in Bill Callahan. And part of that was to fix the offensive line. He's a Hall of Fame level offensive line coach. You've spent significant resources on the offensive line, both financially with what you did with Dan Moore. You bring in Kevin Zeitler. You've got the draft picks that you've had with Latham and Skoronski on that line. We'll see when Cushenberry's back and when he's healthy and when he's ready to go, but there's another free agent signing. I mean, significant resources to try to fix this thing. If it's bad again this year, I think that's going to be tough for the Callahans to overcome here. How far behind how well Cam Ward plays does that one rank for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely number two. Look, Bill Callahan's had a hand in choosing these people. There's no question about that. So I think probably the coaching has been more influential over the player selection at that position than any other position. I feel safe to say. Reggie McKenzie is regarded as a line guy, offensive and defensive line. So the collaboration word that we haven't heard, I would imagine that McKenzie and Bill Callahan worked together to some degree on this, along with the rest of the front office. But you're absolutely right, and I've talked about this a little bit already this week. That's the second fireable offense from the coaching staff. The number one thing is that Cam Ward needs to show development. And the number two thing is, if the offensive line is an issue in year two of Bill Callahan, there is a big problem, because that will be a cause for Cam Ward having problems. And that's an issue that Bill Callahan was hired to fix. And you'll be in year two. Year one had a lot of leftover parts, some of which he overestimated when he told them about, you know, I could do something with this guy, probably, starting with NPF. But if now, with this degree of turnover and these investments from Latham to the $20 million average for Dan Moore, if things don't get substantially better there, that's a federal issue for this team going on what?
This will be the fourth year.
Yeah,
fourth year of a bet, yeah. And when they hired Brian Callahan, obviously you're excited about the quarterback hopes and the quarterback background, but Bill Callahan coming in was a huge, wow, what a bonus that would be. And to me, right now, as you look at Brian Callahan, whatever, you know, however of a hot seat he actually is on, that's got to be one of the biggest arguments against him being on a hot seat, right? It's like, you do have one of the great offensive line coaches here, but yeah, I'm like, if this year, if you don't see that start to manifest in the play, I don't know what that means.
He also, I mean, if
not
he,
good for Brian.
If he got fired, he'd be a hot commodity right away, based on overall body of work, not based on two bad years. Is Cam Ward a quarterback that can make the offensive line better? You know, it goes both ways. The offensive line can make the quarterback better, but the quarterback can also contribute to making the offensive line better.
Well, so can the receivers.
Yeah, by making, and Skoronski had a great line about this when he talked on Thursday about, like, hey, I've watched some Cam Ward, and this guy can get the ball out quick and make things go. But there are also times where you just say offensive line has to suck it up. He's going to hold on to it and O-line be damned. He's going to make some things happen that require us to just suffer the consequences of him holding on to the ball, which was, I thought, you know, great perspective from Skoronski, who I like a lot in terms of being able to contextualize offensive line stuff. And that's kind of the right attitude. Like, most of the time, this looks like a quarterback who's going to get rid of the ball on time. He's a quick decision maker and all of that. Some of the time, he's going to put us at risk because he can scramble around back there, hopefully in a more efficient manner or a more consistently efficient manner than sometimes was the case at Miami, and give us the kind of big plays that are the wow plays that change the face of an offense.
Well, like, you know, in a perfect world, you get both. You get good quarterback play from Cam Ward immediately, and you get, you know, highly elevated offensive line play from where they were. But, I mean, Cam Ward's a rookie. He's stepping into the NFL for the first time. It's probably going to be a little bumpy. Like, it's probably going to be up and down with the way that he plays. But how much better can this offense be if the offensive line is just average? Like, that's all I'm asking for. Get to average.
This is my other thing. No slow start here. No, like, hey, exactly. You know, we're gelling and we need time. Latham and Skoronski will have been in this for a year. Skoronski talked about, like, it's not new to me. I know what to expect, all of that. Those two guys should be ready to go. It's not an adjustment. Zeitler and
Latham is switching positions.
Yes. But Zeitler and Moore are big-time veteran guys who should be able to come in and to adjust to whatever's thrown at them based on the fact that they're – I mean, Zeitler's been around. He's been in multiple systems, right? He should know what he's doing. Moore's been in one system, but he's being paid the big bucks. You don't get to come in and say, I need adjustment time here. This is a complex
season
for me. Cushenberry was in it for half of a season. He was going through the adjustment thing too. But he, too, should be ready. And these other guys, they've backfilled the roster now with other guys, Blake Hance, Mustafa at center. These guys have to pick it up quicker than last year's guys behind the thing. And a guy like Jalen Duncan, you know, you got one last chance to show that you can be part of the backup pool here, or there should be a quick hook for you with better alternatives.
Yeah, backup sounds about right there and preferred. So I overreacted and word parsed on the Callahan stuff last week. I'd like to get your reaction, because I feel like every chance he got, he was like, pumping up Zeitler, but then with Dan Moore, I was like, yeah, then we got Dan Moore too. We got him also. Again, I may be overreacting.
Did he do what he did? Well, it wasn't him. It was Borgonzi with Levis. Levis is a quarterback on our roster in the room where the quarterbacks gather.
Levis is number eight. Yes. He is a man in the world.
Human man.
He and Travis Hunter will change the world.
Yes, together.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably was reading too much into it, but he certainly seemed excited about Zeitler. I wanted to hear more excitement about Dan Moore.
Well, it's interesting that he would have had that level of excitement about Zeitler, because Skoronski revealed that Zeitler is not on site, was not on site for phase one of OTAs. He was participating virtually. So
he looks awesome on Zoom.
Say what
you
will.
His pass sets are unbelievable on Zoom.
All I can see is his face as he grunts, but it looks like he's really doing great with his technique there.
Now, he's a veteran, and he's experienced and everything, and, you know, guys don't have to be here. But I would be more excited if the guy felt compelled to be, and I don't know what's going on in his life, but I'd be more excited if he felt compelled to be around from the very beginning, because it's new.
Got a question. Can we ask the question for George from Murfreesboro?
Georgie.
Are we still giving a reward for like the best question for PK? We just kind of
that died on the vine.
Just sort of a reward is that we read your question. How about that?
I guess so. What a reward that is.
Yeah. I'll read it. I'll try to read it, you know, with like really stately manner. George from Murfreesboro said, Paul, who were the scouts that spoke after the draft when Jerry got mad? You told him to read a media guide, even though none of us knew who they were.
You read that stately? You read that exactly the way that you were reading
stately
things before.
Yeah, that wasn't stately.
There was
enough.
No state. You want to try again?
James Gladstone voice.
Be more Washingtonian in your
just answer the damn question.
Reading.
Okay?
Sam Somerville is a national scout who they have two national scouts. One covers half of the country, and the other covers the other half of the country. They're kind of the cross-checking scouts. And so he spoke especially well. I really enjoyed it, and I leaned a whole story on him. Mike Boney is the other senior national scout.
Do you feel like the Titans?
It was good that they sent them out. I thought they were good.
Like, do you feel like the Titans did a better job with that and with everything they did in in sort of explaining themselves after
this draft?
They
did well in explaining themselves, but they also kind of killed two birds with one stone. Like, they don't have to make the scouts available, so that was nice. And we got a better mix of voices in our content. But they're also obligated at some point to make somebody like McKenzie or like
Ziegler
available. And so they knock that out like in that way, which is better, frankly, than just saying, oh, today instead of Brinker, we're going to throw one of these assistant general manager types up here. And then you don't really have like it's a semi-surprise and you don't have anything to ask them. These guys were answering questions in the flow of picks. And then we asked a lot of process stuff at the same time. So I thought it worked very well.
I got one text.
And they were all good.
Got one text that says, PK, with the Titans basically putting it all on line by declining the Giants trade for Ward, what do you think they could possibly see in him that makes them believe he's worth four picks? Is it because he came from nothing and made it the hard way, so they believe that he'll thrive under the pressure and adversity in the NFL? This is from an unnamed texter.
It's not complicated. They think he's a franchise quarterback. And if he is a franchise quarterback, he is worth four picks.
Yeah.
I mean, look at any quarterback in the league that you would call a franchise quarterback and tell me if you would trade him for another first rounder and two second rounders. And you'd be crazy to say yes, because what you'd be looking for out of those picks would be a franchise quarterback.
Exactly.
So the question is whether you believe that he's a franchise quarterback.
We'll find out if they're right, but yeah.
Right.
I mean, look,
it's not an unreasonable stance by them.
I don't think their reasoning is flawed there. Like, I've said it for a long time. If you believe that whatever your evaluation is on this quarterback and you come through it and you think that they're a franchise quarterback, I don't care what somebody else offers. Like, that's the way I view it. It's so important to get that right that if that's the way they feel, then great. And now the question is, okay, well, are they right?
And then the two follow-up questions are, how much – convincing of yourselves did you do outwardly?
Right.
And then the second question is, how much convincing of yourselves did you do, like, on a psychological level? Like, we have this pick. This is the best guy.
Right.
We have this need, and this is how it works.
Yeah. And then if that's the case, if you had to do a lot of it, that's where I get into.
Uh-oh.
Boy, those picks look kind of good, don't they?
Right. Exactly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com on all things Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Got a four-pack of tickets to give away to the Sounds, taking on Norfolk at First Horizon Park tomorrow. First pitch at 635. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a four-pack of tickets to the Sounds game coming up tomorrow at First Horizon Park. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts and questions for PK. I got one text that says, PK, are you able to break any uniform update news? As Warren Moon keeps trying to throw things out there.
Yeah, I tried to. I only did it in a mention, but the fact that Kay Adams was like, breaking, Warren Moon says this, and Warren Moon said the exact same thing at the spillover at the press conference where he gave Cam Ward number one. I mean, they're not sharing, and then people are like, well, what are the details? What are the details? And I said, well, as Warren Moon, you know, Warren Moon shared what Warren Moon knows, and there are no further details.
Well, and by the way, I saw, you know, Jimmy Wyatt did a mailbag yesterday, and somebody asked him about the uniforms. They're not happening this year. So,
no.
Like, clearing up any confusion, Warren Moon did kind of make it sound like with Kay Adams that they are happening this year, and they're not.
No.
It's not happening this year.
So it's probably next year.
The process takes a long time. I think it's probably
stadium open.
My guess, I think semi-educated guess from the way Moon talked, is that they are Oiler-like.
Yeah.
Jerseys, in that they're not going to ever go to throwbacks because they're not going to need to go to throwbacks because they're a lot like the Oilers.
Well, and that's kind of what the Titans release said too, right?
Well, when they went to the light blue as the primary color, that takes part of the intrigue of wearing Oiler blue away, and now they move further toward that. I mean, do we consider this uniform change a failure?
Yes.
Robbie hates them. Robbie hated them from the worst jump. Uniforms in sports.
They're awful.
I don't think I think some of them are bad. I don't like the navy. I actually have always liked the lighter blue. I think the lighter blue, I think the, you know, the road stormtroopers are good and the lighter blue are good. But they're not great. I mean, they could be better. I say just go with the freaking Oilers uniforms. What the hell? I mean,
you know, I'm kind of with you.
I mean, there's plenty of like the Utah Jazz. Like, no one's ever listened to Jazz still in the state of Utah ever. Who cares?
No, I would be in favor of wearing the Oilers uniform. Then the question is about the logo. Do you stick with the flaming thumbtack? Or there are a lot of fans who would prefer a move to the sword. I think the sword is also kind of cartoonishly dated. So
logo
I don't know. But the thing about that logo, I talked to Amy about this one time when we were talking about the initial just chit-chatting on the sideline this used to happen, chit-chatting on the sideline of a training camp practice.
Back in the good old days.
Yeah. It's hard to believe.
Simpler time.
But I said something about the potential for a logo change, and she said something about we just spent a lot of money to put that logo on the ceiling in the locker room. So there was like a commitment.
It can be like retro.
A commitment to the logo, you know? Yeah.
By the way, the Los Angeles Lakers, there's not anyone in Los Angeles who's a Laker. Yeah, that used to be the Minneapolis Lakers, because there's a bunch of lakes up there. No one gives a crap.
Just bring
the oil derrick back.
This would be a big step back, Joe. It's not that all those things are not true. It's that when the team got here,
no, I know,
in 97,
still call them the Titans, use the Oilers uniforms. What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm cool with it.
They're awesome uniforms.
There would be a faction of people that would shred that for whatever reason.
A faction of people bitch about everything.
I understand, but you have to remember, like, when they got here, it was so universally hated, the idea of them being the Oilers, and there was such demand for a new name. Now, 30 years later, can you say, all right, we gave you the new name, and I don't know. I would just view it as an identity crisis. Like, all right, you came here, you laid down 30 years of history as the Titans, and now you're going to be the Oilers again?
No, again, I'm not saying you're called the Oilers, and not at all. I'm just saying the uniforms look awesome, so use those and still be the Titans.
Okay, so you're the Titans, except you have an oil derrick on your head? What is that? Who are you?
I mean, there's a bunch of uniforms.
Would have been better when they had Derrick Henry on the team.
I mean, I would do a skit right away where I would put somebody on the couch and have a shrink saying, "Well, what is it?
The Tennessee
Titan
Derricks.
Oilers?
It's the Derricks. Be the Derricks.
Very important name. Ministry of the franchise.
The Derricks, yeah.
How are we feeling about inside linebacker right now? You've got the Cody Barton move that took place, who has played for Denver, Washington, and Seattle, respectively, in the last 3 years.
Self-made man.
Got over 100 tackles in each of those years, so there is that. But
upgrade over Kenneth Murray in terms of instinctual play, I would say. Need him healthy because the depth there is poor. Didn't do anything at the other spot. Don't believe in spending money or draft capital there any more than they have spent. And they need Cedric Gray or James Williams or, more of a long shot, Otis Reese to step up and take that other spot. It's a two-down spot, sometimes not even that. And that's a place where people on the roster have to step up and take it.
If Cedric Gray just never emerges at all, I assume that everybody can blame that on Rand. But if he becomes good, then we can credit Brinker, right? Is that how it works?
No, Brinker doesn't get any. I mean, those two draft. The first draft is really mostly Vrabel, though there was some consensus on some stuff like Levis. The second draft is Rand.
So Chad's cool. Paul takes all responsibility off the plate of Chad. Shocking.
I mean, he wasn't making draft decisions.
How about this year?
He wasn't making draft decisions in part, I think, because he was letting Rand
cook and hang himself.
And then this year, I mean, they had to figure out, are we doing eggshell white in the meeting rooms? Or are we hold on, guys. I know you got a draft conversation. We got important stuff going on in here.
In no way am I disagreeing that with the idea that the structure is unconventional, unnecessary, and that the idea that the Titans are going to be at the cutting edge of some new organizational success story is bewildering and outrageous.
Good words. You used so many of your words
that
right there.
That was Ivy League right
that,
there.
That was,
that
right?
That was good. That was real good.
Clip that.
That's right.
Clip that. Send that out as the clip promoting the hour and a half of the show.
That's right. I mean, hey. Brilliant. Brinker, spend some time, as he said at his press conference before the draft, spend some time looking around the room and says, man. We got a lot of Super Bowls in here. A lot of Super Bowls that we've won. Borgonzi's won Super Bowls. I've won Super Bowls. Look at these guys.
Also, Reggie. How awesome is Reggie?
Reggie!
By in here, he was not speaking literally. He was not looking at Lombardi trophies in here.
Look at all the trophies in this room.
Maybe he asked guys to wear their rings that day to have them be in here.
There you go.
Maybe. Or maybe he was just imagining the rings, but in here was used in a unique way.
Very figurative way.
I mean, if anybody could explain to us what he's thinking, it would be Paul.
Oh, yeah. I'm in
You're plugged in.
I'm in his brain.
We get more of your questions for PK to get to on the Titans front.
Plugged
next.
In, literally.
This is Robbie and Rex Road.
Could Jill Jelinek get any more pub on her Game Changers?
It's impressive.
Let's go, Jill.
Shout out, Jill.
Let's Fox go. Is Shout out, Jill Jelinek.
We have more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. The Jags have released wide receiver Gabe Davis, who last year signed a 3-year, $39 million deal, and I believe $24 million of it was guaranteed, and they got one season out of Gabe Davis.
With
and
20 catches.
$20 million dead money. Joe looked up. So they now have Brian Thomas, who's excellent, Travis Hunter, who they're optimistic about, but I think all three of us think he's a better quarterback, Dyami Brown. Those are their three starting wide receivers. Their fourth wide receiver is Parker Washington. And after that, Josh Cephas and a bunch of guys I've never heard of. I mean, Gabe Davis, a locker room terror or something?
Well, he just didn't do anything, right?
Yeah, but still, why do you I mean, you're paying him the rest of the guarantee.
Yeah.
And you're taking a $20 million dead money hit. I don't understand why you wouldn't just keep him.
Only played 10 games last year, but as Ian said, only 20 catches. So 20 catches, 239, and two touchdowns for Gabe Davis, the number. We're already getting questions on the text line about whether or not the Titans should sign him.
They say he was due $12.5 million cash this season. So
well,
maybe.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's more reasonable. Titans don't have room. I don't think now. I mean, they've got people that they expect to go forward and fill roles and take roles. I don't think they need. If Gabe Davis was an edge, absolutely. Well,
and I think with Gabe Davis, what we've seen now is, and look, in Buffalo, basically he was the
vertical guy.
Yeah. And he made some plays, but he's not the receiver Jacksonville thought they were getting. So no. I'd probably stay away.
He ran a 4.54, and the Titans are definitely getting faster. So, I mean, that's a while ago, but that's still a reference point, right? And they're trending faster than that outside of an undrafted free agent that everybody thinks is going to hopscotch five people into the starting lineup.
What did you make of Tyler Lockett's introductory press conference, and did he shake your hand as well?
I was not there. I messed up, but he shook everybody's hand, and he was phenomenal, and he's going to be very quickly a top three guy in that locker room. One thing about
you and he are going to have a secret handshake.
Going back
really
to Restrepo, here's one of the things that nobody is connecting on Restrepo, and I talked about this, I think, with Braden Gall earlier in the week. Cam Ward's not going to be throwing to Restrepo. Restrepo is
during the reps,
fourth
saying.
String wide receiver, yeah. And Cam Ward is first string quarterback.
That Levis Restrepo connection is going to be nice.
Boyle Restrepo.
Boyle Restrepo. Oh, my goodness. Terrorizing the league. Yeah, I like him to make the team. I'm calling my shot. Speaking of at whose calling
expense?
Shots,
next week let's do the exercise where you give me the wide receiving
core. I've gone through the room. He's like the sixth guy to me, but
he's we'll Mason Kinsey.
Yeah, but he'll be better than him. So a couple questions. One, draft related for you on the text line. One is we've talked about it before, but you know how influential was Amy in the picking of Cam? But also, this question is, if Borgonzi was truly calling the shots on the draft, why not let him do the post-draft presser by himself?
I just feel like Brinker knows that he is viewed, because he has final say. I think if he's not there, everybody says, where's the guy with the final say? Why is he hiding? Right? So he's kind
final
of in
final say on drapes? What are we talking
about?
Well,
his final say on everything. Right?
Everything. Yeah.
Well, he's the head he's the head of the football operation. So I think it's a good question, but I think if you flip it and he's not there, then you say, well, the guy with the final say is not there to answer. And you want the guy with the final say to ultimately be available to answer questions. But I think Borgonzi did most of the talking at that. And I was directing my questions about not process, but about players to Borgonzi.
It's quite a setup they got going over there.
Cue up what I said before, Ian. Put that on the put that out there for availability.
Big words. I smoke weed constantly. That's still my favorite.
See, but that was a different voice.
Have never touched the stuff. Yeah, that was like a guy.
Well, that was actually trying to sound like you.
That was a guy that just had a stroke. Every attempt to sound like me. I smoke weed constantly. That's me imitating you, imitating me poorly.
Constantly.
I mean, am I wrong?
Was I slurring?
What were we talking about when he said that? I think it was Isaiah Wilson, right?
Yeah, or Pac-Man Jones.
I made a joke about PK's cannabis habits, and then he's.
I have no cannabis.
And then
habits.
He sarcastically said that, and now we have it as a drop. It's a beautiful thing.
I think it was
thing.
Isaiah Wilson. I think it was about his Twitter account. It was like, here's what it should be.
I mean, in this day and age, people
lazy
are,
panda.
In this day and age, people are very comfortable talking about their habits, and I have no habits. I've never touched the stuff in my life. I'm scared to death of it.
Will you have a glass
he's
of wine?
He's a habitual line stepper.
Yes. What is that from?
Somebody wondering if PK is going to make Tyler Lockett get a hostage video proof that he shook his hand a la Arden Key a year ago.
Arden Key?
I love Paul Kuharsk from Paul Kuharsk.
Arden Key spoke freely and willingly and I dare mention lovingly.
Lovingly, yes.
I'm just very, I'm the next round for Arden Key. You know, last year when the coaching staff first showed up, it was like, well, glad these guys are here because last coach staff just didn't make any adjustments whatsoever.
These guys actually correct
and
things.
It circled all the way down. Like by the end of the year, if you recall, by the end of the year, he was like, yeah, we're just not making a whole lot of adjustments. What's going on? Is that Arden Key's go-to? So I'm interested. Arden Key's thoughts in OTAs and camp here. How the adjustments are going out there with the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Denard, step your game up.
That Denard Walker really needs us to pick it up here per PK. Mike Vrabel's burner says, I've never touched this up, quote unquote. Oh, we can tell, PK. No one needs a little pot like someone who says that.
Denard Walker. Denard Walker's burner or Denard Wilson's burner?
No, this is Mike Vrabel's burner.
Well, Mike Vrabel's burner? Well, he's burning. We know that.
Maybe if you took a puff, you'd get his name right.
He hadn't made that
probably
mistake
not.
In a while.
Listen, if you witnessed him not making a play against Isaac Bruce in the Super Bowl and losing the game, it would stick in your brain as well. But you were in a crib in Detroit.
PK, who's the starting quarterback? Who's the starting quarterback for Indianapolis Week 1, Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, I heard your arguments for Richardson, and they're hard to argue against. But it's conceivable that he's so bad in the preseason, completing 47.7% of his passes, that they have no choice but to go with Daniel Jones. I have no faith in Anthony Richardson.
I don't either.
Saving his career, I think, is an atrocious pick by an organization that's tumbling, and that he and his bosses will all be unemployed after this season.
You sure?
Chris Ballard.
I mean, Chris Ballard is Teflon GM.
Unbelievable. He was hired the year after J-Rob.
Yeah.
Some staying power.
And has been called the greatest GM in the NFL multiple times for reasons I still don't quite comprehend.
Yeah, greatest source and greatest GM are two different things, but they don't differentiate in all in.
PK, thank you, sir.
Thank you, boys. Don't block the box, but be sure to lock your locks.
Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.